Heading the bulletin this news hour. Another bomb has exploded in a busy shopping mall.
The United Nations reports that 14 terror suspects have been arrested.
Earlier today, an 85-year-old lady was attacked in her home as she slept.
Latest figures from the Bureau of Statistics reveal an alarming increase in youth suicide.
Have you ever wondered why? Why it is that our world just seems to be in such a mess? Why it is that people just can't seem to get along? Why it is that there seems to be just such an endless round of tension and strife, not just between nations and religious groups, but between ordinary people, neighbours and work colleagues and even family members? Why is it that we as human beings just can't seem to get along? You know, the Bible actually gives us the answer. In the book of Romans, it makes two incredible statements that describe the condition of the human heart. First, it says that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, that word sin is probably not a particularly popular word these days. But basically, the word sin speaks about the natural human tendency for all of us to want to go our own way. It's when I'm determined to do just what I want to do. The second description of the human heart is found in probably an equally disturbing statement, which says that the wages or the penalty of our sin is death. Now, the word death doesn't just speak about physical death, although we know that all of us are going to die one day, whether that's sooner or later. But the death about which the Bible speaks is an alienation. It's a separation from God. The fact is, on account of our sin, on account of our determination to live life our own way, we are all alienated from the life of God. The bigger problem, I suppose, is that if people remain alienated from God, they'll continue to live self-centered lives which cause strife and destroy relationships with others. But then ultimately, when they do die physically, they'll remain forever cut off from the presence of God in the place that the Bible calls hell. So what's the answer to our seemingly hopeless condition? Well, long before you and I were ever born, God already had the answer. God's answer was to send his own Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. In fact, the Bible says that God loved the world of humankind so much that he gave his one and only Son. So how does the coming of Jesus Christ into this world around 2,000 years ago provide the answer to the dilemma which all of us as humans face? God's answer was actually to allow Jesus Christ to suffer the punishment for our sins in our place. The Bible actually says that when Jesus died on the cross, he took our sins upon him. He bore our punishment. And later was raised to life again by the power of God. You see, because he died in our place, we don't need to die. That is, we don't need to remain forever cut off from the presence of God. His death provided the means for us to be forgiven for all of our sin, so that we might enjoy a real and lasting relationship with the God we had rejected. But how can this happen? How can I know that I've been forgiven by God and brought into a right relationship with him? Well, on account of Jesus' death, God today offers to us the free gift of forgiveness and a brand new life lived in relationship with him. But as with any gift, it's not really ours until we accept it. It's not a gift that we can bargain with God to receive. It's not a gift that we can even earn. It's a gift which can only be received by simply trusting in the person of Jesus Christ, God's Son. To accept this free gift, Jesus said that we must first be prepared to admit that we have sinned and be willing to turn away from our sin. The word that the Bible uses for this turning from sin is called repentance. In fact, Jesus on one occasion said, "Unless you repent, you will remain forever cut off from the presence of God." The second thing we need to do, if we are wanting to receive God's free gift, is to allow Jesus Christ to take control of our lives, to receive his authority over our lives. God's promise is that to those who receive him, To those who believe in his name, he has granted them the right to become the children of God. So what happens if I do acknowledge my sin and place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Well, when we do, we discover the greatest answer to life. Firstly, God promises that if we'll confess our sin, that is, if we're prepared to admit that we've lived self-centered lives and turn in faith to Christ, God promises that he will not only forgive us for all of our sins, but he will actually wash us. He'll cleanse us from all of our impurity. But even more than that, God has promised that if we will receive Jesus Christ's authority over our lives, God will give us a brand new life, one which is lived in relationship to him, one which will never end, one in which we will be assured of a place with him in the eternal heaven that he has prepared for those who know and love him. Are you tired of a life that can never satisfy? Do you want to embrace God's answer for a brand new start, an assurance that you've been forgiven and brought into a right relationship with God, a relationship that will last forever? You can know that brand new start even now. If you will just tell God, if you'll tell God that you want to receive his free gift by praying something like this: Dear God, thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross for my sin. Thank you that he rose again so that I could have a brand new start on life. I admit that I've sinned and I've lived life my own way. I'm sorry that till now I've not allowed you to control my life, but now I want that to change. Right now I ask you to forgive and cleanse me from all my sin, and I ask that the Lord Jesus may come and take control of my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer and providing the answer for my life. Amen. You know, if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, you can be assured that God has received you, because he has promised that he will never turn away anyone who comes to him in such humble faith. May God bless you as you start your brand new life. Now that you have surrendered your life to Jesus, you'll want to grow in your relationship with him. Can I suggest that a good way to do that would be to start by praying, talking to him regularly in prayer, just as you've done even now. You can talk to him at any time, about absolutely anything. He wants to help you and direct your life. If you haven't got a Bible, try to get a hold of one and begin to read it. I suggest that a really good place to start would be to read through the Gospel of John. If you've not been in the practice of going to church, try to find a church where they teach the Bible. It'll help you enormously as you seek to grow in your relationship with God. Finally, if you prayed the prayer, or if you'd like more information, can I encourage you to contact us at the web address shown on this CD, or on the flyer which accompanies the CD. We'd love to hear from you, and would count it a privilege to pray for you as you embark upon this new life of faith in Jesus.